Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome.
Hello, I'm here today with the lovely Lucy Cavendish. She's a woman of some magnitude, and I'm privileged to call her a friend and colleague in our coaching community. She's a Calling in the One coach and author, an exceptional relationship expert, and she has a podcast which is called Later Data. Welcome, Lucy.
Oh, thank you, Heather. Really good to see you. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. It's a real honour and a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're here today to talk about the myths around love and dating. Shall we list them, Lucy?
Yes. As someone who has taken a lot of people through Calling in the One, also sees a lot of couples, although that's slightly left field, but also dating myself. Doesn't mean to say people can't call in their one with me, but I am dating, so I know a lot about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the myth is something that there's no one out there for me. You have to love yourself before anyone else will love you. We had the agony of, oh, love will appear when you least expect it. Men are looking for younger women. So I'm talking about women dating men, obviously, here. And what I get quite a lot is, oh, you're too successful, so you're intimidating to men. Mm. Those are the ones I have bumped into quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other one that just comes to mind as you're speaking is all the good ones are taken.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the good ones are taken. Yeah, that's a really big one. Yeah. That relates to there's no one out there for me.
Yeah, yeah. So should we start with that one? There's no one out there for me?
Yes. So as I say to my Calling the One clients and my dating clients, essentially you're just looking for one person. So what I say to them is, listen, how many people are on the planet? That runs into billions. So if you take out, depends if you're heterosexual or, you know, or if you're, you know, depending what you're looking for. Okay, so take out all the people that you're not looking for and children and all that sort of stuff. You're still left with billions. You're still left with so many people you could possibly date that it is absolutely not true. It is fundamentally, factually incorrect. There is no one out there for me. So it's a case of really knowing, well, of course there's someone out there for me. I'm only looking for one. So people get very, you know, they get very disheartened. They get very stuck on this idea that there's no one out there for me. And then they go into that sense of shame and that sense of failure. And then it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like when you were younger or maybe older and you meet someone and they say, oh, you're going to dump me, you're going to dump me. In the end, you're like, yes, I am going to dump you because you keep saying it. You know, sort of, it's an energy thing. There's no one over me. And I say to people, have you got a crystal ball? You have a crystal ball. You absolutely know. Can you tell me 100% there's no one out there for you? Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's not actually true. That's what I tell people. And we also, I think, because we're both Calling in the One coaches, are helping people really think and feel in their bodies about what is it I'm actually looking for. So we're honing it down a bit. Mm. We're honing it down. So I've encouraged my clients, because everyone's on dating apps, that's really how you meet someone, or at least it's certainly a good way to start. I know there's a lot of trepidation around that, is to be incredibly clear about what they're looking for. You know, so actually you don't want 100% of people liking you. You want, really, you kind of want 1%. But the 1% that are clicking like have read your, hopefully, read your profile, and they're a better match, you know, than the 99% of other people, because you've done a very general profile. And actually, I've really been honing in on this. Two of my clients who really felt they were undateable have both really recently rewritten their dating profiles, been incredibly specific about what they're looking for, not a 5'10" guy with money, but you know what they're looking for in their bodies and souls. And they've both met someone, not the same person.
Thank goodness it wasn't the same person. That's really interesting. I mean, it is a core piece for me about calling in the one, is really getting the values down, really getting the quality of feeling that you want to have. And then you've got something to measure each date against. Do they make me feel safe? Do I feel I can trust them? Do I think I could talk to them for the next 20 years? Do I belong with them? Do they have similar values to me? How do they talk? How do they treat people? Really feeling all that in your body is so key. So that measuring, when you find somebody, you can really tune them out straight away. If they can't speak to you or ask questions about you on the dating site, are they ever going to do it in person? Now, you look for their social skills first off. How's your day going? Probably doesn't float your boat. There might be somebody shy. It's worth a second go. But if by the time you get to the next two or three bits, it's still, well, I had a really nice breakfast this morning and the sun's shining, you know, then you're beginning to wonder if there's anybody there. It's that quality. You really got to learn to listen to your body, as you say, to really feel if somebody's there by being in your body yourself.
I think it's really important you've said that, because I think when people get into fear of there's no one out there for me, they start compromising on things. So, you know, I've been on dating websites, how's your day? That's okay. Next day, how's your day? Third day, how's your day? I'm like, actually, and now I'm trying to generate. So I'm like, okay, I will generate a bit more of a dialogue here. And that's fine. You know, what I love about this, and I think it's really important to know this and keep this in our bodies, we're not for everybody and everybody's not for us. I approach it as I wish everybody well. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are genuinely looking for love and they're looking for that other person. And they may not be for me, but the lovely thing about it is that everyone, you know, these people all meet up. This is great. But I think you do have to have a sort of filtering system. And I think we have to, you know, it can get very shaming dating, because you think, oh, it's my fourth date and it's not this person. And then you think, is there ever going to be someone? But what you need to know is you're tuning in and tuning in and tuning in what, you know, who you're really going to resonate with. And there has to be that thing of, I'm really resonating with this person. I'm enjoying their company. We're getting on really well. They've picked up the bill. I know this is old fashioned. I know it's old fashioned, and I know men don't have to pick up the bill, but actually it's about, is this person generous? Are they generous?
And do they have a masculine quality about them? You know, as in the sort of instrumental versus expressive, of wanting to protect and provide. And that's old fashioned too. But we've got to remember that we are sort of old-fashioned visceral beings. Our heads go faster than our instincts and our hearts. Our hearts are quite a long way behind in that respect. We do want somebody that we can depend on and who's dependable. Doesn't mean, you know, they have to pay every time or that we don't have our own careers and money. It just means that they can be there on an equal basis. Because, you know, talking a moment ago, I think, about compromise, I see really good quality women compromising because they think they're not good enough. But what I see is they're swimming in the shallows. They're swimming with minnows when they should be swimming with whales. So they're trying to fit themselves, if I can mix the metaphor, into smaller and smaller shoes in order to be acceptable, because their core beliefs about themselves are they're not good enough or whatever, I'm not worthy of love. So they try and fit in. Rather than being in their full self and attracting somebody of quality from their own confident self. And I think, you know, that's where we come in with our coaching, of course, to help people really live in that fully confident self that they've lost from all of the cross currents of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, you know, the childhood experiences, the bullying at school, the emotional neglect or whatever that we've had that leaves us with that. So we're coming into dating from a vulnerable place rather than a strong place. And I love what you're saying about being choosy and tuning into your body. That's to get you in the strong place.
I think this is quite complicated, though, because a lot of people, I mean, I'm 57. And a lot of women of my age, and I'm sure you know this, you know, we've been quite damaged. We've taken a hit, if not more than one hit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So your core, you know, so yes, absolutely, you know, I'm actually probably more confident now than I was when I was 18. Definitely, definitely. I didn't know what I was doing when I was 18. I didn't really know what I was doing when I was 20. You know, so I think it's a balance, because underneath the confidence for a lot of women is also the hurt and the pain, you know, which is the places where they haven't been treated very well. And there's a lot of work, I think, that it is beneath that. Also, I think we have to have sounds very prescriptive, but I think this sort of divine feminine energy. So I've got quite a kind of a hello, you know, I'm a really excitable kind of a whoo-hoo sort of a, I think of myself as Edgar the dragon off the John Lewis advert. I get so excited, I burn everything I see. I'm like, oh, we're going out. That's so fun. So part of my learning it's not to dumb myself down or reduce my power, but it's to just sit back a little bit. So I need to learn a bit of containment. Rather than this, you know, oh, I share very quickly. That's fine. I'm fine with it. But, you know, I can see that energy sometimes is a little overwhelming. So it's an energy dance, because if I'm constantly on it, it doesn't give the person a chance for them to come and shine, because I'm just being a bright, shiny penny endlessly. So I'm also thinking about how we shift our energy so that actually, people can come forwards, they can shine, they can find their what I call noble masculine. So we're here.
Beautiful phrase, noble masculine, that's wonderful.
Well, I always think of it a bit like the princess, you know, and they're jousting, and who is she going to put the, you know, the her little colours on? And, you know, it's rather than this energy of there's no one out there, it's like there's a whole lot of people out there, but who am I going to let to be my suitor? Who's going to be the man that woos me?
Yeah, and that's what I mean by confidence. I don't mean being always the bubbly person at the party. I just mean by centering in yourself and doing some work on the wounds, doing some work on how you got wounded. You can't do anything about the other person who wounded you. They may have behaved very badly, treated you very badly. But if you come back to yourself, and you look at how did I let that happen? Okay, you might be, I don't know, married with 6 kids, and that makes it difficult to just up and leave. But there's the ways that I want us to look at are how we give our power away in dating or any other time. You know, I've been around the block as well, Lucy. I'm not leveling this at you at all. You know, I've been married and divorced and had a series of really unsuitable relationships. I didn't know what I was doing when I was 18 or when I was 33 when I got married. It just looked like a good idea at the time. I hadn't got any emotional intelligence or real discernment or real self-confidence. I was just, in a way, bouncing in my self that had adapted to those early wounds. So that was where I was making my choices from, which was to find people to look after.
Yes, wounded antelope. Stand aside. I will look after them. I thought that if you kissed someone, you had to go out with them. I mean, how mad was that? I mean, like, hello? I felt some kind of debt.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, hey, I can kiss anyone I like, which I can do. Hell, you know, of course I can. I don't have to marry them just because I've snogged them. But so I used to just go out with basically anyone I'd kissed. I mean, it was ridiculous.
I'm completely with that. And I remember a guy I dated for a short time saying to me, that he'd been told, you know, on the dating apps or something that he'd researched, that if you kiss the woman on the first date, then you claimed her and you mustn't let it go past the second date. And if you behaved well for 6 months, you could do anything you liked after that. I was really horrified.
When was he born? Yeah, that's very, very strange. Very, I mean, what would I, sorry, I thought came into my head then. I think that when people get panicky and disheartened, and I really get that, I do get that, it's actually knowing, and if you've gone through calling on, it's this knowing that there is someone out there for you, and you are also for that person.
Mm.
But you know, you can't just keep dating the person that you kissed. There is an element of choice. You know, who is it that you really want to be with, and who are you going to be, you know, in that? And so this other myth that drives me slightly nuts, and everybody says it, is, oh, it'll all happen when you least expect it. You know, and you get these stories, well, I was on these dating apps and I had enough and I came off them. And a month later, you know, I was walking down the street and I tripped over a pavement and I looked up and there was Mr. Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this, and I'm sure this is true and this is lovely, the problem with it is then you walk through the world thinking, well, I mustn't expect love. You know, if I stop expecting it, it'll happen. And it means you're still in the energy of expecting. Yeah.
Yes, you just carry on expecting, not having.
Yeah. Mm. So it's the same feeling. And I do understand how painful it is. I have friends of mine who are so horribly lonely. They feel lonely to the very core of their body, that, you know, they're suicidal. And I mean, genuinely, it's a feeling of there's no one out there for me. Nobody is interested in me. No one cares about me. I'm invisible. I hear that a lot. I feel fundamentally, diametrically opposed to that. You know, I feel I'm a shiny, funny, sexy, clever, pretty magnetic woman. That's what I actually feel like. And that's not because I'm a great beauty or I'm the size 10 or I whatever, whatever. It's just how I feel about myself. But I've done a lot of work to get to that place. And I think the thing about coaching, about all this love coaching, is that's where you're getting your clients to. Mm. That is where the coach is investing in the client so that she walks through the world as a person for whom, you know, she's smiling at the world and the world's smiling back. And I can tell you, you know, I do that every day. I talk to people every day. I compliment people every day. I say to an 80-year-old woman, I love your hair. I say to a boy with 8,000 piercings, wow, your piercings are quite something else. And everybody blossoms around you. Everybody blossoms around you. You blossom, they blossom. It's just a win-win. I was on a date the other day with a man. I knew he wasn't, we had agreed it wasn't going to work because we talked on the phone and he had spent an hour. I should have cut this down, but he spent an hour telling me about how he was still in love with his ex-girlfriend who dumped him 4 weeks previously.
Mm.
So actually we met up, I mean, he's trained to be a counsellor. So we met up as a friend's thing about counselling and that. But what I noticed was how self-absorbed he was. So I was chatting to this person, oh, look at your dog, and wow, that's a lovely table, and isn't, you know, and he was just completely self-absorbed because he's in terrible amounts of pain. The end of our lunch, he said, well, you know, what advice could you give me? And I said, you know, look up, just look up. You're so self-absorbed. You're not aware of anything other than your terrible pain. And no one's going to want to date you like that. Or if they do, it won't work.
Mm.
It needs to be expansive. So I say this to people, which is look around, look up, smile, engage. If you walk through the world like there's a rain cloud over you, there is a rain cloud over you. It's never going to change.
No, and you'll end up being somebody else's umbrella.
Yeah, and you don't want to do that.
No. And no, I really love that, what you're saying, because you're coming to the piece of really enjoying your life. it feels really important to me if we're being who we want to be in the world. We're not living in that small, safe, hidden place or in an overcompensatory place. We're actually living in our true selves, not the adapted self, our true selves, as much as possible, because, you know, we move in and out of those states all the time. But from that place, we're really enjoying our lives. We're doing the things that we want. If we're not on the dating apps, we're more likely to meet somebody at the rowing club or playing bridge or whatever it is, you know, darts on a Saturday night. All those sorts of things that we might get involved with, dram, art groups, I don't know, whatever floats your boat. Then you're feeding your soul and then you're in your most radiant self. And then you're looking up. Then you're enjoying life, and then you're magnetic.
I think a lot of people don't feel magnetic at all.
No, they don't.
You know, and I feel that's such a difficult thing, that when life feels that they've, you know, they've had a hard time. And when I hear it a lot, people get very stuck in their painful stories, and they find it very hard to move beyond them. We find it very
Indeed.
to hold out for a future. And, you know, being future oriented is difficult. There's parts of me that feel really nostalgic. And I get very sad. I get very tearful at times about the life that's gone by, you know, all, you know, and I think about my children when they're little and they're not little now. I can get terribly nostalgic. And I mean, maybe many people think this. And then I think, who am I kidding? You know, this person walking through the world going, la la, I'm so magnetic. I'm like, who am I kidding? And then I think, this is exhausting. This is exhausting. Why can't I just want to go back to bed and hide under the duvet? I don't have to go out and walk around being magnetic. I, you know, because for a lot of people, if someone said to me, would you have chosen what's happened? Of course I wouldn't have chosen it. You know, I wouldn't have chosen it at all. I didn't, you know, no, I wouldn't have chosen to lost all my money. I wouldn't have chosen to have to sell my family home. I wouldn't have chosen to be married to a man who didn't turn, you know, wasn't quite what he seemed and get divorced. I wouldn't have chosen my sister to have died. All sorts of things have happened to me in the last 3 years that I wouldn't have chosen. I'd much rather that none of that happened. I'm like, you know, blah, blah, blah. We were still in happy land with the birds tweeting, but that isn't where I'm at right now. So this is also what I'm offering people, which is we can go through horrific times, and people have been through a lot worse than that. And there are times when you feel felled like a tree and you cannot imagine that you will ever grow a tiny little shoot. You might not even want to grow a shoot. You might think, I just want to stay on the ground dead because it's too hard.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think we move between those states of being able to be up and out and enjoying life and having grief for the time that's gone by. And it can be nostalgia and it can be grief for things like when people have died or when a marriage fails, you know, all sorts of things, for not having chosen the one that got away, you know, for having missed a point somewhere and gone the other path. But I think at least we're vacillating between those two places and finding somewhere in between where there's some core truth of self-worth and pleasure.
Yeah, I think we can honour that. You know, I think there's a, we're complicated beings and we should be complicated beings. And I think the complexity of humans is what makes us all wonderful and fascinating and amazing. But I think that thing of movement is very key. So when I'm going down the path of loss and grief and sadness and melancholy, I just think, okay, well, that's a little bit that, you know, I'm going down that path a bit today, and I'm okay with that. And because I think I've learned the skills and capacities to not linger there and not get stuck there. Because from that place, when I'm stuck in that place of nothing that's good, no one's going to want me, why aren't, you know, I wish I could go back another 20 years and do it differently. I mean, I can't. I can't go back 20 years. What I can do is learn a lot from that and go forwards. I think, well, what am I going to learn from that 20 years? or however many years, that I can take into my present life now and do it differently. These are the lessons we need to learn so that we can move forwards. And I mean, I feel I would be much more available to love somebody now in a really whole and healthy way that I've never really been able to do that before. And now I really feel that I can, that I am that person, and that's what I'm looking for in my person. So, you know, then you might say, well, what kind of women say to, well, there aren't men out there like that. But that's not true. That's sort of tarring all men with the brush of being sort of Neanderthals that aren't interested in their own emotional and spiritual well-being and growth. But actually, I find a lot of men are genuinely interested in that. And they've done
more and more so, more and more so. Yeah.
Yeah. And they can tell you now. I mean, the other day I met a man in the supermarket. He was about 50 something. And somehow we ended up talking about attachment styles.
It's great.
He said, this is a very intimate conversation to have. And I said, well, you offered it. You started telling me about your attachment style. And I honored the fact and appreciate the fact you decided to talk to me about it. This is an interesting conversation. Now, if he'd been single, he had a wedding band on, right? If he'd been single, I probably would have said to him, would you like my number? Sometimes we've got to be super brave.
Yes. Let them know you're available.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I checked it out. He was a good looking, interesting man, but I checked it out. I thought he's got a wedding ring on his finger. So it's a lovely conversation. And you wish him well on he goes. Sometimes, you know, you've got to say to someone, would you like my number? And if they say no, so what? Doesn't matter.
And I think it's key that you say, would you like my number? Letting them know you're available rather than, shall we go on a date? Or can I have your number? Because you don't want to take the masculine, in inverted commas, role. You need to be in the divine feminine, which is inviting rather than active.
Yes, I think that's really true. So that you're sort of drawing people towards you.
It gives them the choice, because you're giving a choice out. I'm inviting you, and they can choose if to come or not. Whereas if you pursue them, you've always got them on the back foot.
I think that pursuing energy, it comes from fear. A lot of stuff comes from fear.
Yeah, urgency. Yeah.
Yeah. I have felt that at times. I'm like, oh, you know, well, maybe it's him then. And my body's going, but you know it's not.
Mm.
You know it's not. You're compromising because you get scared. Okay, but you know that this isn't the person for you, and that's fine. You just need to, you know, really embody that and get out of the panic. And what I ask people to do is to name their fears. You know, what is the fear here? The fear is I'm never going to meet anyone. A lot of people fear being lonely.
They do.
And I'm not ask people to let me know, what is that fear? And what does lonely mean to them? I know people that are surrounded by people and feel lonely. I know people in marriages who feel lonely. You know, I know people all over the world feel lonely. So the interesting is, what is lonely? What does lonely mean? I think one way of looking at that is, and it's helpful to some people, not to everybody, which is, if you're in harmony with yourself, I don't mean that means you love yourself. You don't have to love yourself. This is another myth. You have to love yourself. Most people don't love themselves because they see that as being egotistical and narcissistic. They're like, ooh, well, you know. So I don't think you have to love yourself. I mean, I actually really like me. You know, I do actually think I'm a really good person. But a lot of people, you know, they don't like bits of them. But I'm like, that's fine. But, you know, you kind of need to be in harmony with yourself. Because if you're in harmony with yourself, you're never truly lonely, because there's always sort of you there. There's always you there to be with.
Mm.
I think that's a helpful thought, rather than being single as a social stigma. I'm on my own because nobody likes me. I'm on my own because nobody wants me. I'm on my own because I'm ugly. I'm on my own because I'm boring. You know, these are statements that are very unhelpful.
Mm.
Rather than I choose to be on my own because I'm waiting, not waiting, but I'm, you know, I'm here for my person.
Absolutely, you're not settling.
Yes, we can all settle, but that doesn't feel so good. I mean, I see marriages that I'm so much happier that I'm not in those marriages. They're destructive, toxic, and lonely. I don't have to be in relationships like that. And hallelujah is all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
So what's, you know, people that are single want to be coupled up. People that are coupled up, you know, they look at couples like, I just want to be in a couple. And I know so many people coupled up that think, I just want to be single, you know, because they envy the singles, ability to do what they want to do when they want to do it without having to kind of check in and negotiate.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth remembering that each side wants to be where the other side is.
Yes, I think you're right. There were also a couple more, I think, of the myths we wanted to bust. And one is that men are only looking for younger women.
Yeah, let's bust that one. The men that are looking for younger women won't be looking for you. So that's all good.
Yeah, won't be looking for them.
You're not looking for them. They're not going to click like on your profile. They're not going to appear in your, you know, in your feed. And you're not looking for them. So that's all fine. Those men aren't going to be on your radar because they're not looking for you. I know a lot of men and have met a lot of men who are looking for age-appropriate women. And that's because quite often they don't want to start another family. Okay, so if they're in their 50s and they're going to date women in their 20s or 30s, they're looking, you know, they're getting into hot water around about having more children. So most of them are like, they've done their kids, or their kids are at the age where they've kind of done their kids, and they don't want to go back down that path again. And they don't want you to be down that path again. You know, they want to be able to go and actually date and go out and have the same reference points. You know, so you can talk about the same stuff, and also they're interested in what you bring as a grown up woman, rather than having to sort of parent a younger woman. So there are loads of men out there who want to date women who are the same age as them. Having said that as well, hey, I know a lot of women who are having a fabulous time dating younger men. I was about to say for obvious reasons, but I know what everyone's going to think when I say that. They're going to think Viagra, they don't need Viagra. I think there's an energy mismatch. I think you've got to check the energy. A lot of women in their 50s and 60s and onwards are vibrant, up, va-va-voom, let's go. They're taking on new projects. They're discovering new stuff about themselves. And they meet someone in their 50s, 60s, 70s who's really gone pipe and slippers land. Who sort of really just want to, you know, daily preface, I think, is like, perfect first date, I'd like to stay in and cuddle. So that for me is a no. It's really not what I want to do. I mean, I've cuddled enough children. I've cuddled enough animals. Do not need to cuddle grown men.
Your phrase, pipe and slippers, made me put my hands over my eyes. Please, no.
Yes. No. So lots of women, you know, they don't really want that. Sometimes that means they're actually dating men who are, let's say, 5 years younger, 10 years younger. They're dating men in their 40s.
Yeah.
Who have got a little bit more va-va-voom going on.
Yeah.
And I see that much more commonly. So I also want women to maybe take the blinkers off about dating men that are younger than them. Because I can tell you, those men are all good to go. They don't care that you're 10 years older than them. They don't, they honestly, they know you are because you've put it on your dating profile. They want someone who's stimulating and intellectually stimulating and doesn't want to have any more children.
Yes, yes, yes. And the last one, which you mentioned at the beginning, men find you intimidating because you're so successful.
Yeah, that drives me nuts. So I would say I was on Radio 4 the other day on Women's Hour, and a potential date heard me. So it was good listening to Radio 4. That's a great big tick.
And Women's Hour.
And Women's Hour. But we were supposed to be going out for dinner or a drink or something. And he texted me and said, I heard your Women's Hour. You were fabulous. Well done. But I'm going to cancel our date because I just feel, you know, you're all that and I'm not. And it's a bit intimidating.
So thank you. Thank you, mister, for just ruling yourself out ahead of the game.
It's to the tender parts of us.
It does.
I mean, I wish I was 100% good to go on this, but I'm not. I'm like every other person on the planet. I get hurt. You know, I get sad. I take it personally at times. I was like, oh, but we've had a really lovely dialogue and we'd talk. And I felt really deflated. And yeah. I wanted to talk about something really childish and rude, like, well, you know, stupid you. You know.
You see, that's really interesting.
People that are blowing a raspberry and going, like, you know. You're an asshole.
And my sort of gut reaction from my sort of wounded self would be to say, oh, why do you think so little of yourself that you feel that you're not as good as me? So I would get into the looking after role. You'd get into the FU role.
I went into complete rebellious child, you know, kind of like, you know, I wanted to text back something really, you know, like, well, up yours or something. And then I thought, well, just that was okay. I went with that. You know, just put your phone in your bag, right? Don't do the texting thing. And then I just didn't reply. There's nothing to reply to. But it is difficult because I think what women do way more than men, because it's a cultural thing, they play small. They play small. Because I think if I'm clever and if I've got a great job and if I earn a lot of money, I'm not saying I do earn a lot of money because I don't, but you know, if I do anything above the parapet, no one's going to want me because I'm intimidating. No. And I think that's tricky.
Yes, and that's the minnows and whales zone.
Well, that gets you into all the good ones have gone. So here's a problem. I have gone to parties and I have met some whales. I have met some really wonderful men, all of whom are taken. It's a bit of a difficult one because you think, well, is this man a superman? Because he actually married a superwoman 30 years ago. You know, you meet their wives and they're great. So they've grown together. You know, you kind of think, well, I bet this guy is so completely attractive and not emotionally intelligent because he's married to this fabulous woman. You know, and I, you know, you see that not many of them, but you see some marriages and it's wonderful. You know, together, they pull together, they know each other, they support each other. They're both wonderful people and it's because of them and, you know, it works very, very well. Where are those quality men for quality women? Yes, I think that is difficult. I'm not going to say it isn't difficult. It is difficult. You are swimming in a much smaller pond than you would have been in your 20s. There's no
Certainly from in your 20s, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, one.
Yeah. You only need one. And I've seen it turn on a sixpence. Today, there's nobody in the world. Tomorrow, he's right there.
Yes.
I've seen that happen so many times.
Yes. So here's what I'm going to say about that. Because I won't.
Go on.
Yeah. So my friend who I met here, she is beautiful. She is like so beautiful. She's in her 60s. She's ridiculously beautiful. And she's also warm and kind. And she's just a very kind woman in every capacity. She met me, so I've been on my own for a decade. Oh. Yeah. And I was like, well, blimmin' heck, I'll marry you. And I'm not even a man. You know, she's divine. So I said to her, just let's have a chat. She's not my client. She's become a friend. But I just said, let's have a chat. We had a chat. We did a little bit of backwards and forwards. She went online in January and decided she was only going to like something like three men. We worked on all this because she is a very beautiful woman. So she was getting likes from everyone. But what really happened was something in her energy went from, I'm never going to meet anybody. She's very successful and she has a lot of money. She doesn't care about money, but she has actually made a lot of money. She totally changed her energy, and out of the woodwork came these really good, really high quality men. You know, they just started appearing. And she was like, where were they? Where were they a year ago? Where were they 5 years ago? Now, I'm not trying to say to people, again, I'm not sort of saying, well, if you shift your energy, it's going to work. But there's something in it. Her energy completely came to this.
It does. I mean, I suppose you can't always count on it. But if, you know, goodness me, if I had 100 quid for every time it happened, I'd be a very rich lady. Because I've seen it, you know, I've been doing this now 8 years. Yeah, 8 years. I've seen it happen so many times.
Can you describe that in words, though, for people? What is it that you're actually seeing?
I'm seeing as women peel away their adaptive layers that have come from childhood that leave them with, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm bad if I look after my needs, I don't belong, I'm from a lower caste, class, race, or whatever it is that they're holding. It can be I'm the black sheep of the family, or it can be bigger, like, you know, cultural. They peel all of that away and they come to realize that actually they're pretty damn good. And they start to look at people differently. And they start to be able to be themselves. I'm thinking of one woman particularly who was told by her friend, she's going to meet a guy who is pretty high quality, to wear a plunging neckline and look alluring, you know. That's not her. She's a high neckline with frills lady, or elegant and classic, but she followed her friend's advice. And she was really uncomfortable throughout the whole first date, to the point that the date said, how about you just put on your jacket and we start again?
Oh, I love the fact her date said that.
Yeah. And
it was a he. He noticed.
Yeah, he noticed, and he was quality. But she was coming into herself. She should have ignored her friend's advice. She got her friend's not a successful dater. I don't know why she listened to her. One after another that no, you know. But anyway, she did, out of insecurity. But she came into herself, and the next date they had, she allowed him to hold out the chair for her while she sat down. She allowed him to.
I would say that was a must. I would say that.
Yes, but she wouldn't. She wouldn't before. She rushed in late, and before he could get up and put the chair out, she'd sat down and leaned forward, you know, showing her cleavage, and just all wrong. But the point is, she's now married to him nearly 2 years later, because he saw her and then she saw herself. She saw herself before they went up, she went on the date, but she lost her courage. But thereafter, she saw herself much more clearly and then was reflected in his eyes. And he looks at her now over the breakfast table. She said, what are you looking at? And he says, I'm looking at you. I can't believe I've got you. This wonderful woman is my wife. He says those things.
Well, we love him.
Yeah,
what if you're the other way, which is that you believe you're a high quality woman, because you are, but there's absolutely no one out there that matches up.
You just keep looking.
That's what I meet a lot. Well, I don't meet women. I mean, I do have that, but a lot of women are like, actually, I think I'm pretty fabulous. I'm all good to go. I've done a lot of work. I'm emotionally intelligent. I've really worked on myself. Where is everybody? They're not coming from I'm not good enough or blah, blah, blah. They've done a lot of work. They're high quality women.
There are men there.
I do say that. But I think I don't want us all to fall into the, because I think part of the problem is a lot of this work is around the idea that women have somehow feel less than. Sometimes women actually feel more than. I mean, I get that a lot. My childhood thing was a little bit of, you're too much. You're too talkative. You're too show-offy. Why can't you shut up? Why can't you be quiet? Why do you have to take over every single event? Why are you so excitable?
I see. Yeah.
Some people have the you're too much narrative. Then they fall into, well, then what I must do is be lesser than. Shut up. I do think it's an energetic piece, though. I met a man the other day. It's not a date, but we met somewhere, and he was so lovely, and I got so excitable. At some point, he said, "Shh." He said, "It's charming, but boy, oh boy!" I mean, you know, like it's being a Tommy gun because there's so much energy around you.
Well, so maybe there might be some quiet feedback, not to dumb yourself down, but just to take a step back and let them come forwards.
I think, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, I'm, you know, a lot, again, I think it's the energy piece and of encouraging people to really check in with, you know, maybe just take a breath, you know, just hold back a little bit and let this person come forwards with. And also, I know a lot of times people dismiss people very quickly for really reasons, like they had a blue jacket and I only like black jackets. So, you know, for very
not tall enough or whatever.
For kind of relatively spurious reasons, rather than really looking at who is this person on the planet. What are their value systems? How do I feel when I'm with them? You know, have they got my back? A little bit. I don't know, you know, you can feel it. It is. They pulled the chair out. Do I think that's lovely? Yes, I think it's lovely. I don't think it's demeaning or sexist. I think it's lovely. I think it's caring. You know, I like that. You know, it's like I went for dinner with a friend of mine. She knows a lot about Persian food. So I'm all good for her to order, you know, because she knows her stuff. So I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. You order and I'll just eat. So it's a dance. And the thing I like to offer people, and I'm sure you do too, is how exciting is that? How exciting is it to think, oh, you know, out there is this wonderful human being I'm going to meet. I might have to go through a few to get there, but that's kind of fun. You know, don't take it too seriously. If someone's not...
Get support to do it so you're not on your own and then you don't get so wounded. Yeah.
Yes, and
I think you're right. It's a sorting. It's a sorting game.
you
say your piece. Go on.
Well... Quite often people get very, very hurt because they've met someone and they thought, I quite like him. And then they've never heard from him again. Or they've texted him and said, would you like to meet up? And the guy says no. Or whatever happens. Essentially, it's a no. And they get very hurt. And they come to me and say, I told you, there's no one out there for me. I'm never going to find love. And I say, how long did you meet that person for? This person that you've never met before, how long did you meet him for? An hour. I'm like, okay. You met this person for an hour. On the basis of 1 hour, you're going to make a huge, massive decision about the possibility of love in your life based on 1 hour with someone you barely know, who doesn't know you.
That's beautifully put. And to be honest, I think if somebody rules themselves out that quickly, then that's good because you don't have to waste your time. They've sorted themselves out of your list.
Yes, and people say, well, but why do you think he didn't text me? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe who knows?
You don't know what was going on for him.
No.
And it might not.
Yeah, maybe they're still in love with their ex-wife. Maybe actually thought you were 5'5" and you're 5'8". I don't know. Actually, it doesn't matter. It's not personal.
No, it's not about you. It's about him.
It feels personal, but it's not personal. And it's just one to tick off.
Yep.
Move on.
So where can people find you, Lucy?
They can find me anywhere. I'm on Facebook. I have Lucy Cavendish Love Coach .com. Lucy Cavendish Love Coach .com. I'm Lucy Cavendish Counseling .com. Instagram. I'm yeah, findable. I'm findable. And the people you need to find you.
They do.
You, Heather.
Yes, absolutely. That's a real joy.
I found you. And I just emailed you. This is the other thing I want people to know. Sometimes, I found you, Heather, because I was researching something and I typed something and your name came up and I emailed you. I know it's not a dating thing, but sometimes we've got to go, okay, I really, I need to push myself out of my comfort zone a bit.
Yes.
They need to kind of be a little bit brave.
Yes. Yes. And you were very brave in connecting with me. And look, we've created something really interesting out of that connection, and there's more to come.
Oh, yeah. I think we should take it on the road because you,
yes,
you have such success.
This
calling in the one system, which you've adapted for your style, I've adapted for my style. It works. If the client puts the energy in and it's the right energetic match. So some people will be for me and some people will be for you. There'll be, and what I like about this community is that if a client's not for me, I might say, I'll say, try Heather. It's not a grabby feeling. It's like we share stuff.
Yes. All boats rise together on the tide we are rising on.
So the other thing I want people to really know about love and about dating, and we're doing it for everybody. It's not just sort of us in this little pocket going, oh, my God, what's going on here? It's for everybody. And if we can expand that feeling. So I just think, well, my no, that was a no, but that's someone else's yes. And this person is released now to go and find his yes. Mm. And I'm going to find my yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.